D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan at Bridgestone Arena, joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, I know you saw the game on Sunday. Will Levis benched 3 interceptions, 4 turnovers. We were just talking about the situation that Brian Callahan finds himself in. He obviously has to develop Will Levis. It's an important part of his job. He also has a locker room full of other players that he has to make sure that he doesn't lose by this decision that he has to make regarding Will Levis. You're a football coach. I'd love your opinion. If you were in this situation, what would you do?
Yeah, I think I'd turn the page. You know? Hey, look, I don't say that to be, like harsh about it, but just it's like, it doesn't work, right? Like you can't win in the current situation. I get, developing somebody, but I think as we're 14 games in on the season, you gotta kind of hold things together in the locker room, the expectation. And so because of that, I think you gotta make sure that everybody feels like the team is doing everything they can to try to win on Sunday. And listen, if you're turning the football over as many times as he's turned it over, especially in critical situations, that's a hard. So, and I'd just say this too, and it obviously wasn't perfect for Mason, but it also wasn't terrible either. So, I think it was, in terms of the season, it was clearly, look, they're trying to develop him, Levis, that is. There were some things that obviously didn't go great. Would he play his way through it? I don't think you really know until you try to play through it. And I think, unfortunately, it's been clear in terms of, what he's been able to do. I mean, I think I said to you guys last week or 2 weeks ago, like, he's not coming into the season next year as a presumed starter, right? Like, I think, like, that has already been written. And so, and I think, when you look at last week and just the composite of the entire season, I think it's, now it's questionable whether or not, he's on the roster.
My question about Will Levis specifically, Tim, is he is a young quarterback in the sense that he's played 20 games, I believe, in the NFL, but he is 25 years old. When you look at Anthony Richardson, for example, he has had his struggles too, but he's 22 years old. There's more time, I would assume, to mold Anthony Richardson into the quarterback that the Colts want him to be. I'm wondering whether it's here or somewhere else. Do you see aspects of Levis's game that can be salvaged so that whether it's here or somewhere else, a team can get a solid quarterback, probably in a backup role, but do you see things of his game that maybe can be salvaged by another coaching staff?
Yeah, and I don't think it's just like a coaching staff. I think it can be salvaged over time. Look, Sam Darnold is the perfect example of why, you can't just say, okay, like a guy has played himself out of the league, right? I mean, just the year that he's having, I mean, think about his path, right? I mean, he's been, all over the place, and he's been somebody's third quarterback when – the guy that was the second string guy is the guy that, really hadn't proved that he could play. So, yeah, of course, there's always an opportunity, for redemption on a guy that physically has the ability to do it, which he does. But I think what's different between and I would just say this, I don't believe that Anthony Richardson's ever going to see the opportunity to become the starter. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. Like, Anthony Richardson, to me, needs too much development to become the starter in Indianapolis. Like, I don't think there's time for that, right? Hurt last year, in and out of the lineup this year. It has not been perfect. Next year is going to be year three. They're going to be up against picking up the fifth-year option. I just think ultimately what's going to happen in Indianapolis is they're going to have to reset, in some ways, the way the Jets have had to reset at quarterback before – you know, the clock is fully expired, you know, on the contract for Richardson and Indy. So if Richardson's going to prove that he's a starter somewhere, I think it'll be somewhere other than Indianapolis. And so I think ultimately that's the same scenario for, you know, for Will Levis. Like, is his path going to look like Geno Smith's path? Like, where, look, it doesn't work out where you are. You go, you're a backup somewhere, and then you get an opportunity somewhere else. Like, that, to me, is the most likely scenario for Will Levis to one day become a starting quarterback. Like, it just, I don't think it happens in Tennessee. Tennessee's going to have to reset at quarterback. And because of that, you know, what I mean, his roster spot, I think, is in jeopardy. And then even if he is on the roster, his path to the field really probably only comes by way of injury.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on DVD. Tim, I'm curious about Brian Callahan and all of this, because part of the reason why the Titans hired Brian Callahan was because of his extensive past working with multiple notable quarterbacks in some mm-hmm. capacity. And I was asking this question of Derek before the show, and I would love your opinion. I know that Levis's failure, to put it bluntly, is going to rest on Brian Callahan's shoulders. That's just the name mm-hmm. of the game. But I'm curious about, just from everything you've said about Will Levis, not just today, but in all of the other interviews we've had, mm-hmm. I'm wondering how much Brian Callahan could realistically get out of Will Levis. I know that coaching is important, and as I said, it's going to reflect poorly on Brian Callahan, rightly or wrongly, what's going on with Will Levis. But I'm curious about how much you think Brian Callahan could have really squeezed. How much more could he realistically have squeezed out of Will Levis?
Yeah, I think when you are making mistakes that you know are wrong, right? Like, this is stuff that we talked about weeks one and two. When you're doing things that you know are wrong, and like when you sit in the quarterback room and everyone's on the whiteboard or you're watching film and you know are wrong, but then you get in the game and the guy does it, to me at that point, like, there's nothing else the coach could have done. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's, you know, like when the, you know, when the ball leaves the guy's hand and he knows it was wrong, like that's on the player at that point. And I think that when you look at some of the mistakes and the critical mistakes, I think ultimately, like, that's what it came down to. So yeah, I don't know that you can put that on coaching. You know, and so to say, like, okay, what else could we have gotten out of him? Now, listen, I'm sure that there'll be internal, you know, kind of evaluations of, all right, could we have called games differently? Could we have, you know, majored in different things to get the most out of him? And, you know, I say that just, you know, and I know we talked about this at the time, but look, Malik Willis, you know, goes to Green Bay. You know, I guess less than 2 weeks later, he's the starting quarterback and, you know, beats a team that he couldn't make, you know, like, but they called the game differently. I think everyone would acknowledge that. Right. And so I think, you know, looking at it, it's like, all right, like, did we need to build it differently around what this guy was capable of doing? But I also think, like, the fear in that, and not to speak out of both sides of my mouth, but, like, the fear in that is, like, at some point, like, you maybe are putting, like, a governor on yourself in terms of what you can become by trying to build it that way.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to figure it out pretty soon here, sooner rather than later, if they want to keep pace with the AFC, period. We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, how do they go about, because this is sort of the one of the essential questions. How do you go about getting your guy if the guys that you want aren't available? If a Shedeur Sanders isn't available for you, if a Cam Ward isn't available for you in free agency, we know Sam Darnold will be the hottest name out there and probably really the only name that's going to command high dollar. If you can't get a Sam Darnold, now what do you do? Do you bring another guy in and build the team based around that guy and that guy being a sort of a bridge to the next guy? Or do you, you know, try to move up in the draft and try to get a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward?
Yeah, I mean, those guys are options. Obviously, Darnold's an option. Mm-hmm. I think that you also have to say, like, okay, well, what's Minnesota going to do? I think you could easily look at Minnesota and say, well, would you rather Sam Darnold or would you rather build it around J.J. McCarthy? And so, okay, now is J.J. McCarthy available? And, you know, what does Kirk Cousins have left? And what's Detroit going to do? Because, I mean, Jared Goff is young, right? Like, they drafted Hendon Hooker early, and Hendon Hooker probably would have been a first-round draft pick if he didn't tear his ACL. And so, you know, I think you've got to be creative. I think you've got to be willing to be, you know, a little bit unique in terms of how you address it. And that's where I think, like, your scouting department has got to be better than other scouting departments, because then you have to say, okay, well, like, what is Detroit going to do with Hendon Hooker? Like, Jared, I forget how old Jared Goff is, but he's not, I don't think
he's 30 yet.
Yeah, I think he's right 28 when he started the season.
Jared Goff is 30.
He just turned 30.
Okay, so it's like Jared Goff is going to have 6 more years. Like Hendon Hooker really does them no good because he's going to hit free agency before he ever plays. So, you know, like if you really trust your evaluation and your scouting department and, like, let's just say he was the guy, well, yeah, like, then at that point you can say, well, look, we're going to treat Hendon Hooker like he's just entered the draft and we're going to proceed accordingly.
Now, Tim, getting away from the Titans just a tad bit here, in the AFC, which team is outside of the Jets? Because I understand coming into the season, a lot of people had high hopes on the Jets. Aaron Rodgers back. You had, you know, you have the weapons that you have there. Then you had a guy on defense. So you figured that team would be okay. But obviously they were not. So besides the Jets, which team has been the biggest disappointment to you? I look at the Cincinnati Bengals and say they are a huge disappointment, not necessarily because of the quarterback, but – what the expectations were of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Listen, I think there, I think there are a lot of teams. I think there are a lot of teams that are disappointing. Look, the Niners are really disappointing. Yeah, they've had a lot of injuries. Look, I think the Texans are going to win the division. I think have been a disappointment. Jacksonville has been a disappointment. I look at a team like the New Orleans Saints. Like, I think that their season has been, you know, really disappointing. I mean, I think so look, it's hard to argue with Cincinnati. Like, they're supposed to be really good. Yeah, they play in a tough division. But, like, that's been a disaster. So, like, I think there are a lot of good answers in terms of teams that have been wildly disappointing in terms of what the expectations were, the money that's been invested, you know, in certain positions, and then, like, how they've ended up playing. So I really feel like this season, more than any other that I can remember, it really feels like there's a top tier, and then there are a lot of bad football teams that you just look at them and you say, like how did – you know, this league is supposed to have all this parity. Like, it really feels like there's, you know, the haves and the have-nots, you know, in the NFL.
Tim, last one for you. Do you, honestly, looking at the Titans and what you've seen thus far and, you know, what you've seen from Brian Callahan, yes, he's had his ups and downs, and which, you know, first-time head coach don't have their ups and downs. Vrabel had his. But do you think this coaching staff, this GM, and this president, and I add Brinker into it too, the president, because it seems like he has a critical role in what they do, do you believe they can get this together and field a much better team next year?
Listen, I think the team's been pretty bad, so I think that, like, it's easy. It, you know, in terms of getting better, I think there's a way to get better, you know, and I think it certainly starts with quarterback play. I mean, just go back to those first two games of the season. You know, if you don't have those epic turnovers, mm-hmm. they're probably wins. You know, and, like, then everything feels different. So I just would say that, like, when you look at that stuff I think you just got to get quarterback right. And the good news is like, think of the names that we just were talking about. Like, there's a way to get quarterback right this year, just because there's going to be guys that are available, and there's normally not that same type of movement. So, you know, I think those are the parts that that would give you confidence to say, like, look, it's not necessarily Brian Callahan or Rand Carthon or that. It's more about, all right, do you have the ability, it's clearly a problem, to get your hands on somebody that can fix the problem.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on D-Maze, Vingan and Donick. Tim, great stuff as always. And I don't, well, we don't have a show next Tuesday, right? It's Christmas Eve, so we won't talk to you before then. So have a very Christmas. Merry Christmas, you and your family.
All right, same to you guys. Appreciate it. Have a good week. See ya.
You too. Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program. My schedule is off completely.
Don't worry about it. I'm sure you're not the only person.
My mind is in a haze. 615-737-1025. We will pick this conversation back up on the other side, but before we do, 1025 The Game and Cromwell Media have teamed up with the Nashville Predators for Coats for Kids, benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. Donate a new or slightly used coat at the game studio and at the Fordyce Centers in Antioch, Bellevue, and Clarksville. Also, on Friday, the game will be at the Fordyce Center in Bellevue from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., taking donations, giving away swag, and tickets to an upcoming Preds game. Coat donations will also be accepted at the Preds home game at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/coats.